US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, rolling on tonight, rolling on October 17th, special night. You know why. We talked about it at the top of the show. We'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the third hour tonight. And then next week's going to be the big anniversary special, 11 years on the air, thanks to the fact that Jesus has tarried his second coming and God's good grace and the support, financially and prayerful, of so many wonderful people all around the world who are tuning in tonight. Inevitably, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. James Edwards and now Keith Alexander here. Keith's a little bit melancholy because Ole Miss lost to Memphis today. Keith, Ole Miss alum, and that was quite unexpected. I figured that was just going to be a quick slam dunk, a quick scratch in the W column for Ole Miss. But anyway, it wasn't meant to be, was it, Keith?
No. It shows, quite frankly, there's some glaring problems with the Ole Miss coach. He could not get his team up for this game. And he needed to convey to them somehow that beating Ole Miss would make the season for Memphis State. I mean, if they lost every other game and beat Ole Miss, it would be a successful season. The Ole Miss game is the one time every 2 years when it's played in Memphis that the Liberty Bowl Stadium with 60,000 seats, which usually has about 10,000 people in it for a normal Memphis State football
game. The basketball team draws more people than the football team. The basketball stadium arena seats about 20,000.
In fact, the last time that they had a televised game there, they were playing Cincinnati on Thursday night, they were actually going by to the soup kitchens picking up bums to bring into the stadium.
All right. Well, we probably don't want to dwell on this much longer, but the fact is, you got a nice suntan, though.
Yeah,
you look good.
Or ballroom tan, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you got a color, and you brought in your hamburger.
Right.
I guess you forgot my order.
Yeah, I did. Anyway. I know that you always like meat. You can have one of those.
No.
It's a triple burger, so you can have one of the meat slices.
No, I appreciate that. That's a mighty wide of you. But, no, I'm fine. I would say one more thing just to wrap up on this. We were talking about this in the first hour. Confederate flag. A lot of people got Confederate flags this week, courtesy of the political cesspool. They should be delivered by now, so check your mailbox. If not, you can take it up with the Postal Service. But we send them priority mail because everything we do is top shelf and first class. But I read an article from one of the rags, I can't remember which one, but they were lamenting the fact that the Confederate flag is being spotted with increasing frequency all over the world, not just in the South or even in other parts of America, but in Italy, in Sweden, in Russia, in Ukraine, in other places, Northern Ireland, Brazil. And it's because, of course, in addition to meaning something a little more for us as Southerners, because our ancestors fought for that, so it's quite personal, it's family. It has become a universal symbol now of resistance to tyranny and, as I said a moment ago, opposition to tyrannical centralized government. But that's not to say that – so it really is an implicit symbol of our fighting people, the fighting nature of our people all over the world, and it's something that the world is grasping onto, and we're willing to share it. But I would add that, of course, we have heroes, many, many heroes, not – relegated to the years 1861 to 1865. A lot of heroes of our people that weren't Confederates. Christopher Columbus was one of them. He celebrated a holiday this week that is under increasing fire, just like all good people today. And Keith, we posted an article that we repost every year. It's a Political Cesspool original article about Columbus Day. Why don't you break it down? Because I know it's very special to you.
Well, Christopher Columbus and the holiday named after him is under a full blown assault from the left and has been for years now because, believe it or not, I'm going to give the left credit, they understand what the holiday is actually about. Christopher Columbus represented the first time that the white race made a permanent presence in the New World of North America, South America, Central America, whatnot, and made it stick and stayed there. As a result, North America in particular, which was settled by basically English and French, with a little smattering of Spanish people as well, as well as Dutch people, that has become a garden spot. That was the place. It showed basically the great qualities of Northern European peoples, because the people that came over here were basically from the bottom of the barrel. They were not from the top dresser drawer, as Grandma used to say. They, in fact, they're a step above Australia, where they basically scoured out the bottom of the prison system and sent them. But with...
And that's not an exaggeration. I just want to interject. That is not an exaggeration. Australia was colonized by prisoners, and look at what they were able to do with it. So even the worst of our people are so much greater than what we see in other parts of the
smarter,
world.
So much smarter, so much more resourceful when they escaped the strictures of the class system that existed in Europe at that time, particularly in England, and were given a fertile patch of land in which to work out their destiny. They turned it into a garden spot. They turned it into an innovator. They turned it into a bastion of human freedom and resourcefulness and showing the genius of the people, the inherent genius of the people. And this is a lesson that the left definitely doesn't want to celebrate. They want that hidden as much as possible. And the fact that Christopher Columbus Day is still celebrated is a cause of weeping, wailing, rending of garments, and gnashing of teeth on the left, because it basically celebrates what they have described as the cancer of human history. That's what Susan Sontag called the white race. The white race and their religion, Christianity, has been the most successful in spreading the advance of civilization and technological advancement throughout the globe. And Christopher Columbus Day basically celebrates that occurrence. So you can believe you me, the left is pulling no punches whatsoever in trying to eliminate Christopher Columbus Day. But I think most Americans and most people worldwide don't understand the real reasoning behind this assault on Columbus Day. They don't like the fact that it is celebrating the advent of white people and what great advances occurred when ordinary white people were given possession of a rich continent and how they turned it into the garden spot of the world.
And of course, Keith, there's this myth that exists that when Columbus and then later the settlers of Virginia and Massachusetts and some of those other original states landed, it was just this harmonious utopia of indigenous people, and they were so advanced and so smart and so incredible. And of course, the reality couldn't be further from the truth. It was thousands of squabbling tribes who were out to genocide one another.
We'll give them all the
another.
Details about this
when
after
we come
these
back.
Words
yes.
from our sponsors. We'd love to. We're going to jump on that like a bulldog on a bloody bone.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
What we were talking about before the break was the myth that white Christians just really screwed everything up, that how great the world would have been if we'd have just let the Stone Age savages, you know, continue on in their ways of cannibalism and sacrifice and pulling out hearts and genociding one another. You know, whites are constantly attacked for taking America from the Indians and daring to build a civilization on the land that was occupied by hundreds of tribes, if not thousands, of quarreling squatters. And I don't know if that was ever the intention of the settlers to just, you know, put these people in their place. But as someone recently shared with me, and we've posted this to the website, I think the best reply, if you really want to combat this claim, this charge, has to include the fact that the Indians, remember, the Indians conquered each other for territory before the Europeans ever arrived, and that the latter only did what humans have been doing for millennia all over the world. And you can reinforce that position by contrasting what the white Christians did with what the Indians did when they conquered another people. When they conquered one of their rival tribes, they simply exterminated them. There are no mound builders left because the Cherokees and Creeks genocided them off the face of the earth. And the Indians did not create reservations or casinos for conquered people to enable them to survive and maintain their languages and religions and so on.
Without
only
working,
white
we might
Christians
say.
Did this. And since all the Indian tribes in existence conquered and exterminated some other people in their past, if we are to blame people like our ancestors for conquering others, then the clock shouldn't start when we arrived, but earlier on. And if you apply that metric, then the racist, genocidal, xenophobic Cherokees got what they deserved. But the fact is, Keith, when Columbus landed, he was attacked. When the settlers in Virginia landed, think about Roanoke, think about some of these other original colonies, they were attacked. There's savage, savage accounts in history of how the Indians, you know, just completely mutilated the white settlers. And so, you know, I know white Christians today would welcome that and would want that, but back then they actually fought to defend themselves. And what are you supposed to do when you're constantly under attack? Yeah, I mean, did some Indians help? Maybe. Were some of them okay? Probably. But overall, you know, we weren't welcomed with open arms. That's a myth, folks. You know, I'm speaking to the crowd with this audience, but, you know, Columbus, it's not just that he found America, he found the New World, and because of him, we're here now. It really just speaks, and it's a testament to the enterprising
resourcefulness.
Well, not just that, the to explore, to discover, to conquer new lands. You know, that is an enterprise that is uniquely European. And we're in space now because we followed in the footsteps of Columbus. Or we used to be in space before we reallocated all of our resources to welfare. But, you know, we used to go to space back in the 60s. There's a legacy here worth remembering. And Columbus Day is really probably, other than Christmas, perhaps our most important holiday, in my opinion. And if we have to get rid of a holiday, let's get rid of the King one. But, Keith, back to Columbus and the Indians and, you know, everything I just covered.
Well, consider, if you would, for a moment, what would have become of the North American continent had Columbus and followed by other white men not come to the continent? What would have happened was it would have stayed much the same. It was basically a large, oversized wildlife reserve with, you know, at the most a million people on it. And these people were, for the most part, stuck in the New Stone Age. They were hunters and gatherers. A few tribes had started to lay down roots and start a rudimentary agricultural society. But look at the civilization that existed. They did have some skills in astronomy and things like this. They could use chart time and space
some
to the stars.
Did. Some did. I mean, you're
talking
to some
extent, like the Aztecs. But on the other hand, the Aztecs were bloodthirsty savages. They were reviled by all of the neighboring tribes. The reason that Cortez was able to defeat the Aztec Empire when he only had about 600 soldiers was, one, he had gunpowder and horses, and two, the neighboring tribes hated the Aztecs so much that they all joined forces with the Spaniards to help defeat them because they were so hated. They would capture young men from the neighboring tribes, sacrifice them, pulling their still-beating hearts out of their chests to their savage gods. Now, the other thing that is not particularly high on the list of the left's litanies of what whites brought to the Western Hemisphere is we brought Christianity. And if you are truly a Christian, which some liberals, particularly in Protestant mainline churches and unfortunately increasingly in fundamentalist churches like the Southern Baptists, as we've discussed with the advent of Russell Moore at the Southern Baptist Convention and what was that guy, Richard Land, who was the prior Southern Baptist Pope, despite what those liberals would have you believe, actually we were the people that brought Christianity to the savage people of sub-Saharan Africa and the savage people of the Western Hemisphere. So if there is a benefit to Christianity, and as a Christian I can say I think that the ultimate destination of your soul is certainly something that would be primarily of importance to you, then, and it's been a great civilizer throughout society and throughout history, then white people were a blessing. We're basically an unmitigated blessing. In fact, we're such a blessing that people from the third world, non-white people, risk life and limb to come to America and Europe,
yes,
so they can share in the benefits and the bounty of living in a white
nation. Now we're getting to the meat of it all. You know, we're told how evil we are, how hate-filled we are. We're white supremacists. We just want to hurt other people. But yet these people are beating down the doors, breaking laws, risking their lives to come and live in these horrible societies created by white people.
Where they can
the
be
America,
persecuted.
Europe, you know, so they could be persecuted. Well, persecuted with refrigeration, air travel, cell phones, television, running water, all
automobiles, cell phones,
Christian salvation, all the things they don't have in their ancestral homelands. Yeah, we're the bad guys, that's for sure. Well, and Keith is right on another point. He's pretty much right every time he opens his mouth, but truly, if left untouched, America in 2015 would look no different or very little different than it did in the 1600s and 1500s when we started to make expeditions to the South America and then later on into North America. How do we know this? There are still relatively uncontacted tribes in the deep, deep, deep Amazon that we've only seen pictures of through drone surveillance and airplanes that have never been contacted, never been documented, and guess what? After all these hundreds of years, they still live exactly the way we read about in history books. They live in teepees. They barely sustain themselves. They're hunters-gatherers. They have no clothes. They hunt with spears. No progress in 500 years. That's incredible, ladies and gentlemen, but it's the truth. So, you know, have minorities benefited from white ingenuity, white rule? Obviously, the answer is yes. But and what do we get in return? No gratitude, only grievances.
And more than that, look at what happens to a neighborhood or a city or a community if white people move out. If white people move out, it reverts to the third world.
We're not talking about civilizations, but even neighborhoods.
Yeah, look at what has happened to places like Camden, New Jersey, and Detroit, Michigan, Oakland, California, Birmingham, Alabama. It doesn't matter where these majority black neighborhoods and towns are, wherever they crop up, they devolve. They go backward. And you can tell, the easiest way to bring this home to you is this. Who cannot tell when they drive along the road when they pass from a white to a black neighborhood, for example, or even a white to an Hispanic neighborhood? There is a difference. There's a cultural difference associated with race that the left will do everything in their power to deny, but which is, you know, it's as real as the nose on the face.
And look at Haiti. Look at Haiti under French rule, and look at Haiti after they murdered all of the colonists and were left to their own devices. Is Haiti better off now, or is it better off then? How many lives have been saved by medicine that was born from the wisdom of
people? This is what's really being celebrated in Columbus Day. So
that's it.
We take the position that everybody ought to really consider this one of the most important holidays of the year.
When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about the Democratic debates.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I'll tell you the truth. You'll never know. You can imagine, but you'll never know how much work it takes to keep this show going on. And it, as I often remark with Keith and Eddie, and anybody that's in radio knows, the time you actually spend on the air is the least amount of time in the
never-ending prep work.
Well, it's the most fun. It's the easiest part of the pie that's divvied up into what goes into production each and every week to keep an organization afloat and a broadcast afloat. And so a lot
people would be very surprised at what winds up on the cutting room floor of the political cesspool. A lot of great shows, much better than what you normally hear on mainstream news and radio commentary programs.
Well, that's right. But it is a big production, and it's sustained by you folks, and we love you, and we thank you here just a few days shy of our 11th anniversary. And we'll get into that more later on in the third hour. Next week is going to be the big celebration show like we do every year. Last year, you were here with us for that in person. But also before the sand falls from the hourglass tonight, you'll hear from Mark Weber, and we're going to have a great conversation with him. We're going to ask the rhetorical question, why does the achievement gap in education still exist, the racial achievement gap? We'll talk to him about that. He's helped promote a new book on that very matter, and so Mark Weber will be our guest at the top of the third hour. But first, we're going to break down the 2016 Democratic presidential debate. They had their first one a couple of days ago, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Martin O'Malley,
Jim Webb,
and Lincoln Chafee.
All right, Jim Webb.
And Jim Webb, right. And, you know, because of Trump's participation, I actually looked forward to and watched in their entirety each of the first two Republican debates. I got sick to my stomach watching these creeps talk, and I couldn't watch it all. But in case you missed it, and you really didn't miss anything except heartburn if you did watch it, the highlight of the first 2016 Democratic debate was this question that came in from a black, aggrieved, chronic malcontent student. And he had this video question for the candidates, do black lives matter or do all lives matter? And, of course, every single candidate just said black lives matter. So a tough question, I guess, Keith. Hunter Wallace writes this, from a social justice perspective, do whites have any value at all in Obama's America? What about police officers? And, you know, so, but they all said black lives matter, black lives matter. Why can't you say all lives matter? The mainstream, Keith, now is so thoroughly anti-white that even saying all lives matter now has become a partisan issue and a racist commentary. You can't even say that all lives matter, only black lives matter. And when you're talking about black lives matter, you're not talking about
all black lives.
You're not talking about all black lives. You're talking about the thug degenerates, the worst that they have as a community to produce. That's who makes up the Black Lives Matter movement. That's who they're talking about. Imagine, Keith, and I turn it over to you to really run wild with this. The reaction, if this was flipped from the media, and if Donald Trump had been asked if all lives matter or do white lives matter, and only one Republican on the stage said that all lives matter, do you think that the media would have pounced and labeled the Republicans racist? But in this case, when all of the Democrats say to a person, black lives matter, none of them have the courage to say all lives matter. Well, I think Jim Webb mentioned it very quickly and then said it went on to say that he's trying to get a statue of a black something or another at the National Mall. But all the rest of them, black lives matter, black lives matter. How disgusting.
Well, it shows you the great lengths that political correctness has taken us away from the path of righteousness. Just think about this. Black lives matter, supposedly, and you cannot even say all lives matter. You can't be inclusive. You can't say that you value human life generally. You must come out to favor black people over all other people, or else you have transgressed the standards of political correctness and liberalism.
And who are they talking about? You know, they're talking about Michael Brown, who tried to murder a police officer. They're talking about Trayvon Martin, who tried to beat the neighborhood watchman to death. They're talking about Freddie Gray. They're talking about these, you know, thugs, street rats.
Well, what they're talking, hood rats. Here's what they're telling you. They're telling you that the small, well, not the small segment, but the less than 50% segment of the black population that encounters the police in an adversarial way have to be treated with kid gloves.
A bit like these people in Ferguson that we see on TV every year, you know, burning the place down.
It's this as is if the black people matter. Can't be expected to abide by the standards of normal civilized society and behave when they have an encounter with the police department. The police department has to expect that they will be physically assaulted by these people, and they have to put up with it, allow themselves to be beat on, and not pull out a weapon in their own defense. We've got to somehow understand and feel the pain of people like this and allow them to behave in intolerable ways, ways that would not be tolerated if they encountered a white suspect or a Hispanic suspect or an Asian suspect or an American Indian suspect. In other words, black people matter so much that they get special treatment. See how we've moved from the rubric of the original civil rights movement, which was equal treatment, to the new standard, which is special treatment.
It's not just special treatment for blacks who are producers and law-abiding citizens. Now, this is special treatment for the absolute base.
Well, you think, look at what has happened because of the triumph of the civil rights movement. You have special treatment for blacks across the board.
Homosexuals?
What they do, for example, we have affirmative action. You can get a job or you can get an admission slot at a highly selective college, university, law school, medical school with less grades, with poorer quality grades, with less demonstrated intelligence, because you are supposedly entitled not to equal treatment, but to special favors. This special favors idea has permeated modern society in the West, particularly in America. And there is apparently it's intolerable for any group other than blacks to rise by their own merits. People have to make sure that blacks get into Harvard and Yale, for example, at exactly the same rate that whites or Asians or others do. And it doesn't matter what your grades are. It doesn't matter what your standardized test scores are. You get in. Now, on the more punitive side of the ledger, black people's criminality needs to be tolerated in ways that white people's criminality, Hispanic behavior, Asian behavior, American Indian behavior, none of those things, you know, those people are held to a different, higher standard now because we now have to give black people a lower standard where they can misbehave more before they get punished. That's what the whole message of the Black Lives Matter movement is. Now, of course, this flies right in the face of the primary rubric of liberalism, which was equality. Remember, equality, fraternity, justice, things like this. That's what they were standing for. But what has happened proves the truth of the Italian socialist Vilfredo Pareto's famous comment back in the 19th century. He said, "When I am weak, I ask you for equality and justice, because those are your values. When I am in charge, I deny equality and justice to you, because those are my values." See, in other words, white people are going to be treated more punitively, everyone except this ward class of the liberal left is going to be held to higher standards. They're going to be held to lower standards. They're not only not going to be punished for not living up to the mark, they're going to be rewarded with things like admission to highly selective colleges and universities and getting good jobs with less demonstrated ability because of their race. This is racial discrimination, which is, according to the terms of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, as written, represents legally prohibited racial discrimination.
I get why the support groups of the regime are supporting the Democratic Party. They're going to get more handouts for them. They're going to get more benefits. They're going to get more programs, more welfare, more jobs. But if you add them all up, blacks make up 12 to 15% of the population. Homosexuals, another couple of percentage points, maybe 2%. Jews, 2 or 3%. You add them all up, you're maybe at 20% of the population. So that leaves the rest. Hispanics, yeah, they're going to vote the ones that can predominantly. Why and how could any self-respecting European American ever vote for a Democrat? I do not know the answer to that.
Someone who's not self-hating.
Someone who's not self-hating, which unfortunately a lot are, thanks to pathological altruism. We got to take a break. We'll talk more about this in a moment.
The political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
On the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
So we're breaking down, I mean, what is there to break down, really? I mean, if anybody could stand to watch through that debate all the way through. They're much more masochistic than I am. I had to get up and take a walk about halfway through. But I guess what stood out the most was this fawning over Black Lives Matter, which is thugs are better than the police and everything else.
And can you believe that a major political party in the United States has adopted that as one of their primary campaign points?
They put that in their official platform. We talked about this a month ago on the show, I guess, a few weeks back. The Democratic Party put into their official party platform that they stand in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, which is just a hate whitey, hate America, hate police, hate any, you know, just thuggery, organized thuggery.
Anti-white racism is part of the Democratic Party's
official
platform.
And, you know, I was asking the question, how could any self-respecting white person vote for a Democrat? Well, it's true that the Republican Party elite, the leadership of the Republican Party, hates whites as much as the elites of the Democrats, that's for sure. And the Republicans are only nominally better. But when you compare somebody like Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, I mean, there's certainly a stark difference there. And so I say that to say this. The media, you look at the media's treatment of the Republican debates and the Republican frontrunner, versus the treatment that the Democrats got and Hillary Clinton got. Hillary Clinton, a career criminal, criminally
handled
corrupt.
Handled with kid gloves.
How great they were. How stately Bernie Sanders was. Bernie Sanders is just a kook, a nut. And the rest of them is just universally lauded and praised. And it's the same media who's telling us this week that Lamar Odom is a hero. And Lamar Odom, let me tell you about Lamar Odom. You know who Lamar Odom is. He's an NBA player, kind of a fringe NBA player.
He used to be the Boo or the main squeeze of one of the Kardashian girls.
So that's to say, we gave you two clues. He was married to a Kardashian and he played in the NBA, so I guess you know his race. But so he's this guy, he's a black guy, black basketball player, played for the Lakers, and
he's now on life support.
He has a couple of illegitimate kids, which is par for the course, but he married one of the Kardashians. He's now on life support because he was found at one of the brothels in Las Vegas, coked out of his mind. He'd taken a lot of cocaine and Viagra and alcohol, and he's on life support right now. And the media is just treating him like, you know, this is a guy, he was just such a great guy, guy to emulate, and you know, a hero, an example for young people. And it's really sad that he made a bad decision, but it doesn't take away from he was really the spirit of humanity.
Can you imagine 1950s America, 1940s America, 1930s America, even 1960s America, lionizing a reprobate who basically passes out in a coma from abusing drugs, including sexual enhancing drugs, in a brothel?
Cocaine, you know, he was brain dead because he's on cocaine. Now, I think he woke up today for a little bit, but he's still in critical condition. But the media, you read these stories on CBSSports.com, and it's just what a great guy he was and how wonderful. You know, compare that to the treatment that true wonderful people get in today's America.
Well, like,
everything's in burst.
Remember the clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis?
Right, there you go.
Okay. They're making a big thing out of the fact that she was divorced once, for heaven's sake. Meanwhile, she can't compare to a luminary like Lamar Odom, who is basically caught in the throes of sexual sin, passes out, almost dies, is in a coma. We're all supposed to idolize him, make him our hero, venerate him. Meanwhile, because Kim Davis made the fatal error of following the text of her Christian faith, the sacred book of her religion, the Bible, and applying it to her day-to-day life, and refused to grant marriage licenses to homosexual couples or would-be couples. She is a triple-dyed villain, and Lamar Odom is a plaster saint.
Well, we just got an email in from one of our listeners, Keith, who this is a pretty good comment. Blacks turn their criminals into quote-unquote civil rights heroes, which is very true. And I'll give you another example since we're talking about sports. Today, just today, or maybe it was yesterday, Eddie sent me this story from Yahoo.com. Eddie's not in tonight. He'll be back next week. Four players for the University of Alabama's football team, four black players, were arrested for armed robbery here just within the last few hours. So I don't guess they played today, or maybe they did. I don't guess that's such a big deal. But don't let that stop you from selling out the stadium there in Tuscaloosa next week or wherever Alabama plays.
Well,
they
also had an article about some player that played last year, a wide receiver for Texas A&M, caught some balls from Johnny Manziel, who committed murder. And he is, you know, that just – what has happened to the Jack Armstrong, the All-American boy, and the standards that were behind the granting of the Heisman Trophy when it was first created back in the 1930s. You know, college men who legitimately belonged in college used to be the people that played college football. Today, your college football team, if you go to a school that has a Division I college football team, is basically populated with people that, if they were not playing sports, the only way they'd be on the college campus is on the north end of a southbound broom.
Well, that's true. I got one more thing before we run out of time this hour. What else to say about the Democrats? Don't vote for them. I mean, I don't guess anybody in this audience would. But third hour, Mark Weber will be with us. Racial gap in achievement is still persist. Why and how much has been done to bridge that gap, and why was that not successful? We're really going to peel this onion with Mark Weber, one of our favorite guests, in the next hour. But first, Keith, with only minutes remaining this hour, as I was driving up to Washington last week, I was talking to Keith. And for the first time, literally while I was on the phone with Keith, I think we were talking at about 8 or 9 o'clock. It was while the election returns were coming in. Memphis had a city election last week, and I was on the road talking to Keith. For the first time since I was in sixth grade, which is to say for the first time since 1992, the city of Memphis did something that I thought would never happen again. Keith, tell them what it was.
They elected a white mayor.
A white Republican mayor elected in the city.
And furthermore, there are a lot of white candidates that were elected to minor citywide offices
in
as
a
well.
City that is what percentage?
65% black.
How did it happen?
It happened because apparently the black power structure feels comfortable enough in their own sense of entitlement now that they have all fallen to squabbling among themselves. They had about five serious black candidates, or at least three serious black candidates running for mayor, one serious white candidate. The blacks split up the black vote, and the incumbent made the fatal error of doing the bidding of the elites and cutting the employee benefits of city employees, most of whom are black. And, of course, government employment has always been a mainstay for employment of minorities, particularly black people in places like Memphis. So they had a genuine axe to grind with him, and what the mayor did, Mayor Wharton, to try to win back some street cred with his people, quote unquote, was to attack Forest Park, General Forrest statue, and try to, you know, say he was fully on board for digging up the graves of General Forrest and his wife and removing them to some other place. That did not fool the black people. Quite frankly, they don't really care that much about General Forrest. They care a lot more about their pensions and health insurance. And what it did accomplish was to erode Mayor Wharton's white base.
So sort of like in tribal Africa, the different chieftains went to war with each other. We were talking about the Indians earlier today. This still happens in politics, even in majority black cities, and they can dilute the vote, and you can get a sleeper in there.
Well, that's what has happened. And another thing that has happened in the Democratic Party, which is the de facto black party for local politics in Memphis now, with the Republicans being the de facto white political party, there is now, notice has been served that there's no such thing as a white Democrat getting elected to a citywide or a countywide office anymore. And they've basically served notice on white liberals that they were useful during the transition into black power, but now that the blacks are in power, their only role in politics is to provide money. Well, apparently a lot of them are not providing the money, so consequently, the Democratic Party and its candidates here in Memphis are chronically underfunded. Everybody has their hand out. Nobody has their hand in their pocket pulling out money or checks to pay for political advertising and things like this. So the black candidates aren't getting the same type of media exposure as the white Republicans are. And that's having an effect, too.
I was saying a moment ago, Keith, before you offered your commentary on how this happened, and it's not to say that we won anything. We didn't really win much at all. I guess a cuck's better than a militant anti-white, partisan. But I can remember being at Briarcrest Christian School in the sixth grade, 1992, when the first black mayor of Memphis was elected. Literally. I remember this plain as day, and I wasn't engaged in politics in 1992. I was 12 years old. I didn't know. But there was two black kids in all of Briarcrest. I'm talking K through 12 at that time. Two black kids in the whole school. And they happened to be a little bit older than me. And when it was the day after
the election.
The election. And they were jumping into lockers and banging around and running down the halls celebrating the fact that Willie Harrington, who was the mayor at the time, was elected in 1992. And so that was really my first step into the kiddie pool of partisan racial politics. But nevertheless, for the first time since that day.
Let's revisit that election.
Well, we'll have to do it later.
We'll do it right after these words from our sponsor.
Well, maybe not so quite that soon because we got Mark Weber, but later on in the third hour, we'll get into that.
Okay, then.
All right, we'll be back.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.